gospel for this night is recorded in Luke, the second chapter. And you've probably heard it many times in your life, but I invite you to listen to it as if it were brand new tonight for you. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. She gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, for there was no room for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all the people. For to you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that's taken place that the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. The Gospel of our Lord. Well, we've arrived, huh? You've all been preparing for this night for weeks. The tree is up, or in our case at our house, all five trees are up. The baking is done, the presents are wrapped. You've given to all your favorite charities, of course, including Lord of Life, your favorite, right? Amen. And every decoration and ornament's in just the right place. And after all the rushing around, phew, here we are, huh? All ready to have everything go so well, to have just a wonderful Christmas. It's impressive to me how our staff and all the volunteers around here have done this season. They've been organizing and planning and decorating and cleaning and practicing music and all to have this beautiful experience for us tonight. Isn't that something? Think about the musicians, the liturgical arts team, the altar guild, assisting ministers, acolytes, ushers, greeters, park and ride drivers, cooks, staff. Haven't they done a great job for us? Let's give them a hand. But we know there's always going to be something unfinished, a forgotten task, a gift we lost track of, somewhere in the back of some closet, I suppose, somebody we should have called and didn't get around to it, something out of place. You know, there comes this moment when you realize you just can't make everything right. Somebody may be missing at your table this year. Somebody may be refusing to come. No matter how many drinks you serve, you can't make everybody happy tonight. And even if you came here tonight to worship just to make somebody else happy, you really know that probably won't do the trick, right? And you realize, you know, you can't even make yourself happy all the time, even if it is Christmas. No matter how hard we try sometimes, and I can try pretty darn hard, I tell you, we can't make it all right. You know, pastors on Christmas Eve, no matter how long we've been at it, 42 years for me now, we can fall into this illusion that you have to have the perfect sermon. You know, the one that wows and zows everybody, and you know, and it makes everybody come back the next Sunday. But what those 42 years have taught me, through some rather difficult lessons, ones I need to keep remembering, is that I'm not in charge of your spiritual life. Sometimes I'm not even very good at being in charge of my own. And then just think of your families. And mine, my brother Al died in November. Another one of my precious relatives is in hospice care. A buddy of mine who I work out with Friday told me he's getting a divorce. I can't make those things all right. Just can't. When I was growing up, I thought that was my job, you know, to make everything in the family okay, fix my family, right? And when I finally realized I was a failure at fixing them, I went and became a pastor and a social worker and marriage and family therapist to go off somewhere else and try to fix somebody else's family. And then I had to learn some arithmetic early in my counseling career. Some of you know this, but how many therapists does it take to change a light bulb? One. But it has to want to change. Yeah. For some of you, you have had to realize through many failed efforts that you cannot stop a loved one's drinking or gambling or whatever addiction is pushing them around and is pushing your whole family around. No matter how many bottles you hide or water down, no matter how many times you lectured or scolded and threatened to file for divorce, it's not in your power. You can't fix it. Or look at the state our country and our world are in. Chaos, confusion, at oddsness, leaders jockeying for power, choosing polarization rather than collaboration, forgetting that they're called to be public servants, looking for what is in the public interest, the common good. In the Welcome Center, one of these days this last week, I joined a group that was having coffee for a little bit. They were discussing the danger of the potential government shutdown. You know, this was in the middle of the week. And somebody looked right at me and said, "Somebody has to do something." Well, try as I might, I have to confess to you, I didn't succeed at stopping the government shutdown either. And the Packers, my goodness, my team, they're having a lousy season. Even though I'm an owner of the Green Bay Packers, for heaven's sakes, I can't fix that. Thank God for the Texans. You know, we all have stuff going on in our lives, right? In our families, in the world, that we just can't make right. And really, isn't that why we've come here tonight? We can't make it all right, whatever it is that's on your mind right now. But the good news for us tonight is this. It's not in our job description to make everything right. That's God's job. Setting everything right, and tonight is the beginning of his making things right. Now, this past year, we have been listening mostly to the Gospel of Mark on Sunday mornings with its immediacy and urgency and its movement toward the death and resurrection of Christ as the game changer, the hinge point of history, right? And in the midst of Mark, there's this messianic secret, it's called, where Jesus keeps telling people he heals and all that stuff. You know, he says, don't tell anybody until you get the whole story, right? Well, here we have the Gospel of Luke tonight and this coming year, and Luke is not very good at keeping secrets here. You know, he even has an unborn child, John the Baptist, leaping in his mother Elizabeth's womb at the arrival of Jesus' mother Mary in their house. And this birth itself, Luke insists, is the very beginning of God's making things right. He proclaims loudly, dramatically with the birth of Jesus, and not with armies of powerful leaders that are going to save you, not the Roman government, not any government is ever going to save you, rescue you. Instead, it's an army of angels that show up, an army of angels. And in Isaiah, we hear this, it's not the tramping boots of the warriors or all that blood and guts and gore that's going to save us. No, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And guess what? The government is going to be on his shoulders. His name's going to be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of his reign, there will be no end. God with us in person, in Jesus, beginning to set things right. Broken lives, broken relationships, broken world, yes. But first at his birth, simply by coming to be with us, not our being able to, and be with us in our not being able to make it right, by the way. And in our disappointments, in our hurts, in our failures, yes, in our sins against one another, the ones where we've hurt each other intentionally sometimes and sometimes unintentionally. The ways we've even hurt ourselves. But as the choir sang a week ago to us, we sense a fountain, a rising fountain, welling up in our hearts. We sense a stirring, a stubborn stirring, a sense that God will come among us. God will live within us. And where will God be? He will be there with us in the struggles of this life. That coming is so counterintuitive, you know? Turning everything upside down from our expectations, and we're going to hear that all through the Gospel of Luke. Everything gets turned upside down. Starting with the King of the universe being born in the messiest, dirtiest of circumstances. Born to a scared, low-income refugee family in an unfriendly place, not even in a refugee field hospital, but in the feed box of a barn. And there we see where we least expect it. A silent night, a holy night. And yes, all is calm. All is bright. Even in the messy, dangerous, and scary circumstances, God is with us in the struggles of this life. So what about our efforts to make things right? You know, this last month here and there, people have been telling me, you know, you seem pretty calm with everything that's going on around here and the stuff in your family. And yeah, I am in pretty good shape this season considering all this. And I tell them, well, it's because Pastor David is handling everything these days. I don't have to worry about it. You know, and it's true, you know, isn't he a gift to all of us? You know, and as much as I'm grateful for him every day as my partner, it isn't Pastor David who's making me calmer. It's this deeper sense rising up within, God with me, and the sense that I don't have to be God without the equipment anymore. I can't make everything right, but God can and will and in fact is at this end of history. As little as it seems to be happening at times for us, as much as we can doubt it, God and Jesus is moving us toward the end of time when all will be restored to the goodness that God intended. So what about all of our efforts to make things right? Is it all a waste then? Well, no. There are things you can do to bear this good news like the shepherds did. You know, for instance, I may not be in charge of your spiritual life, but I can hold up the light of Christ for you. This small dancing light we've been talking about this season, the light of God's truth and grace. But then it's up to you to decide what you're going to do with that. You may not be able to fix your family tonight. But what if you saw them in the light of God's redeeming love and grace, and treated them as children of the same Heavenly Father who loves you, warts and all, just like He loves you? What if you prayed for them to have the same peace that you want for yourself, huh? Just for one night. Just for a few hours. What if you love them as they are, quirks and all, just for a few hours? Can you do that? I bet you can. In our broken world, what can we do about that? Well, as the choir sang this last week too, one small good surrounded by wrong, and this a little child will lead us. And you know what? I'm going to invite you to do something tonight after things settle down, after you've, you know, had a great meal and celebrated together, and in the quiet of the dark outside, I'm going to invite you to take a candle outside. Hold it outside in the light and just look up at the sky and simply pray for peace. Peace for our world, peace in your family that might still be in there fighting or something, and peace in your own heart. Would you do that? Just do that tonight. Take a candle and pray for peace. The very first thing to do to help us change is to look into that candlelight. Even when you're doing it tonight during Silent Night, when you're looking at it for a few minutes, look into that small dancing light and pray for Jesus to come into your heart tonight. Pray for the light of His love and truth, yes, and grace. Pray for that to come into you, to give you peace, acceptance for you as you are, hope for whatever you're struggling with. Because He was born to be present where you are in this very moment. And then maybe just for a little while with that flickering candle in front of your face, you'll know just how Jesus has made this moment just right. It is all right. It is all right in Jesus, the babe of Bethlehem. Right now, in this very moment, it's all right. It's all right. It's all right. Really, it is. Lo, He comes to love and save and free us, and it really is all right. Without any help from you at all.